Reverse auctions can do more than simply get federal agencies the best price. They can also bring in new contractors. When done at the micro-purchase level, under $3,500, the results can be downright amazing. That's what the 18F Innovations Group at the General Services Administration found when it tried reverse auctions to buy open-source software code. To explain how it all works, David Zenich, the Acquisitions Management Director at 18F, and Ala Goldman-Seifert, the acquisitions consultant there. Why bother with micro-purchases?
The micro-purchase idea came from sort of an experiment that we wanted to run here at 18F. Specifically, we are doing a lot of work in the acquisition space, and one of the rules in the federal acquisition regulations is that under the micro-purchase threshold, which is $3,500, you do not have to compete for the contracts. You can basically do an award to essentially anybody who has a product or service, and as long as you have the budget and they can deliver it, you can go forward. And so there are a lot of regulations that normally apply to the acquisition activities don't really apply in the below the micro purchase threshold, which is a great place to sort of start experimenting and start learning how to do procurement. And so we decided to see if we could do something innovative in the space of micro purchasing, which is to say, could we apply what's already a well-trod path of reverse auctions and apply that to the micro purchase threshold and see if we could get custom software delivered. And there were a couple of constraints that we saw would have to apply. One is that we'd want to deal with some compliance issues, so we'd require individuals to register for SAM, even though technically that's not required by the FAR. And we also felt that the requirements that we put together would be easily understandable and easily measured objectively by us and by the vendors, that they could reasonably price how much it would cost them to deliver. And the way that we felt that that was going to be accomplished was something else that 18F deeply embraces, which is open source software. So by having all of our source code for our software publicly available and open to public inspection, it allowed industry to effectively evaluate how difficult it would be to complete a requirement and to deliver it under the micro-purchase threshold. And the reverse auction was a technique that we could use to effectively encourage competition and encourage new companies to participate in the marketplace.
Is one of the assumptions under this that by having reverse auctions, even at the micro-purchase level, there could be some government-wide savings that could add up?
Correct. That's right.
And we should point out, too, that requiring people to register for SAM, that's the GSA's system for vendors registration. I think it's System for Acquisition Management.
System for Award Management.
Award Management. Just to clarify, this was to purchase custom software specifically.
Correct. So the first auction, and this is, you know, for acquisition folks, this will be of particular interest. So there's a product that 18F has been working on with another part of GSA called Calc. And Calc is a tool that is used for market research to look at all of the schedules, labor rates, and basically search for a particular labor category and figure out what labor rates are for that labor category. And it has a number of schedules that were already loaded in Calc, but one schedule that's of significant interest is Schedule 70. And Schedule 70's data was not loaded into Calc. It was available to GSA, but it was not publicly available under the Calc tool. And so what we wanted to do was provide vendors with the with Schedule 70 data and write a script that would let GSA quickly and easily load that data into the Calc tool. And so we put together the auction, tried it the first go around, and we got, I think, 17 unique bidders, some remarkable number of people who had participated, and finally got delivered software for $1, which was unexpected by everybody, but it validated that the concept of getting open source software delivered was something that was interesting to industry and something that we should try again. And so we did.
And Ala, give us a sense of how long this took, what period of time over which you got all of these bids and so forth, and how you were able to evaluate them.
Sure. So The first set of micro-purchasing bids happened in October, and I actually didn't join the team quite yet, so I think Dave could answer how long those were open. But for the second and third round of bidding, we've had them open for 24 to 48 hours and had anywhere between, I think, 5 to 10 bids on each individual auction.
We're speaking with David Zenich. He is Acquisition Management Director, and Ala Goldman Seifert is Acquisitions Consultant, both from 18F at GSA. I guess maybe the bigger question is this good for independent software developers if they're bidding against people who can deliver for $1?
Well, and so the dollar is a little bit misleading. Since that $1, most of the bids have been in the several hundred dollar range. So we've had, at this point, 9 individual auctions, and they've ranged anywhere from around $250 up to $600 for most of the awards. And the thing that's really, I think, important for us to emphasize is that we've had no auctions where fewer than 3 unique bidders have been involved. So there are a lot of people who are engaged, a lot of people who are excited and interested, and we're hoping for continued interest. And by having more auctions and more opportunities, we think that the prices will more likely normalize to what market rates would look like, and hopefully we can continue to get great results and good cost savings for the government.
Do you have a sense of who has been bidding? In other words, if you're getting bids for $250, $500, $600, it's probably not places like AmericanEagle.com.
Sure. So, we did a little bit of user interviews after the first round of auctions and have continued to monitor the type of businesses. And it's women-owned small businesses, sole proprietorships, a couple of small and medium-sized companies. It's all about how they designate themselves and SAM those. So some of them we don't quite know. But we can tell you a number of them have never contracted with the U.S. government before. And in that sense, we started this experiment with a hypothesis that we would be interacting with vendors that had not previously provided open source code to the government. It's one of the main reasons we're using the GitHub platform, is because we really wanted to make sure we reach out to the open source software developer community. And it ultimately, at least thus far, this has borne true. The vendors are certainly new. They're now signed up in SAM, and now they're delivering us code. So we're really happy about that.
So GitHub offers a platform where the government could make its intentions known. It's not just a place for simply putting code up.
Yep, absolutely. We have different repositories. It's where our code lives. And so when we ask for fixes for the code, when we're putting up an auction, we'd like a certain set of a certain piece of code delivered. We want to deliver to work with a certain tool that's already up in a repository. And so we point users to that. But currently in the platform, in order to bid, you actually have to authorize yourself with your GitHub account. There is no other login mechanism aside from already being on GitHub. And so in that sense, we wanted to make sure that we targeted this particular community.
This is almost the software equivalent of people knitting caps for the Army from their homes in Maine and Vermont.
Sure.
Do you think that this model is transferable to other types of commodities than open source software, or is it something that may be unique to this particular narrow part of Schedule 70?
Well, I think one of the things that we started to do, we actually had an interesting sort of micro experiment in the micro purchase platform last week, which is that instead of just doing pure software, we actually tried to open up an existing, previously unopened data set. So the Federal Acquisition Institute has a PDF of basically a glossary of acquisition terms, and there are a bunch of acronyms and abbreviations and things that, you know, inside the Beltway everyone knows, but to a lot of companies and a lot of, frankly, people at 18F, it's a foreign language, and it exists in the PDF, and we wanted to get it into a data format that would be easily used and consumable by our software. And so we asked vendors to basically convert that PDF into an open data format called YAML, and that is a bid that was successfully awarded, and hopefully it can get delivered according to the time frame. But it basically gives us an indication that it's not just for code, but it's for things that people can do for under the micro purchase threshold.
How can this program become something permanent and regular part of acquisition for GSA or really any agency at this point?
Well, I think the answer there is for us to keep learning. This is only going to work if we keep improving our process and our platform and also continue to engage with industry and with other parts of the government. Ultimately, this is not the sort of thing where we figured out all the problems. In fact, we've learned a great deal just in the first few months of doing this. And by doing this more and learning at each step of the way and being really transparent about how we approach our problems and how we learn from each mistake or strange success, I think that'll be the way that we get this to be sustainable.
What do you think are the top one or two problems that you overcame that other people could make sure they don't do it if they try this themselves?
Well, one thing that we did early on is we decided to slow down a little bit. So we had set sort of an arbitrary date on when we would go forward with our first batch of auctions, and we had our platform moving. And rather than go forward with the auction, we actually decided to press pause and spend a little bit more time testing the platform, making sure that we had, dotted our I's and crossed our T's. And even though we lost about a month of time, what we really did is hardened the platform and got it to a place where we felt really, really good. And that's something that I think government doesn't like to do a lot. You know, we oftentimes want to have a deadline and sort of stick to it no matter what. Basically, when we ran the test and we realized that we weren't ready, by slowing down and making sure that we had it really in good shape was important for us. So that was one problem that we internally identified and fixed it. Despite that, there was a bug, of course, in our first go-round. There was this weird thing related to entering a comma into your bid. But the nice thing about how we approached these problems is by having these be small early experiments, when there is a bug, it doesn't crash the whole system. It simply required us to roll back and to quickly fix that one piece.
Working in an agile and open way has been really tremendous because it's meant that even in inclement weather, the team can always keep working. The code will always be there. If there's a bug, someone from the team working on it or from the greater AT&F community or from the greater open source community can always jump in and make suggestions. And something that's been tremendous is even vendors who have not placed bids have commented using GitHub issues on ways that we can improve the platform going forward so that they could participate in the future. And that's been tremendous.
Ala Goldman-Seifert is acquisition consultant at 18F, and V. David Zenich is acquisition management director at 18F, both from General Services Administration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.